This is the story of one man who became known as God's banker. On June 18th, 1982, a young postal clerk was on his way to work when he made a horrible discovery under London's Blackfriars Bridge. There was a corpse hanging from an orange nylon rope. The man was dressed in a grey suit with a white waistcoat and a blue striped shirt, a watch that had also been stopped at exactly 1:52 a.m. In his pockets, there were nearly 5.5 kilos worth of bricks in there. Once the body was lowered, it was examined. Police ended up finding a passport with the name Gian Roberto Calvini and $13,000 in Australian, Italian, American, and Swiss currencies. The passport itself was fake, but they identified the body as 62-year-old Roberto Calvi. He was president of the Milan-based Banco Ambrosiano, which had very close ties to the Vatican, thus nicknamed God's Banker. Roberto was a very prominent figure in Italian financial news since 1977, when there were many rumors of irregularities occurring at his bank. He had a big network of worthy connections, which included Vatican officials, Masonic leaders, and ties to organized crime. He had very strong and close ties with Archbishop Paul Marcinkus, the chairman of the Vatican's bank. He looked after the bank accounts of priests, bishops, and popes. He was also a secret shareholder of Banco Ambrosiano. However, great connections also bring bad ones. Michele Sindona was another popular name at the time, and his bank merged with Banca Unione, which ultimately became liquidated in 1974. Once Sindona's empire was demolished, it cost the Vatican $30 million, and Sindona died in prison in 1986 after having his coffee spiked. However, one of his last acts before death was starting the rumors that accused Roberto's bank of irregularities. This led to Roberto's arrest in 1981 with a fine of nearly $20 million for partaking in moving the equivalent of $27 million out of Italy. At this time in the news, there was a scandal about how Masons had infiltrated the Italian elite and eventually causing the Prime Minister, Arnaldo Forlani, to resign. At this moment in time, and for the first time in a while, Roberto had no political protection. He maintained his innocence but tried to kill himself in prison whilst awaiting trial. Eventually, he was convicted and sentenced to prison for 4 years.
This whole thing just sounds so corrupt off the bat. We're talking about the Masons. I mean, in my head, I thought that a lot of this stuff was really just like a bit mythical, like these people weren't real. But it's quite clear the Italian mafia and the people involved in like the Vatican and all that is just super suspicious. And that always makes for a really good mystery though. So I'm excited to see where this goes, but it's not looking great for Roberto. Now, this Mysteries is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you guys don't know what that is, it is a online therapy solution for you guys. And what I mean by that is a lot of the time, look, let's keep it 100, right? Life comes with no manual. There is no guidebook to getting through life. And there are a lot of ups and downs, and it is very normal to go through those ups and downs of life. As it might seem on social media, and I am a victim of it as well, I look at people online, I think, wow, everything is just going right for this person. But I can promise you that is never the case. Everybody has their ups and downs. And I can promise you lot, speaking about this sort of thing with someone else, with a therapist, and someone that trained, professionally trained to help you go through these ups and downs. So BetterHelp are here. They're an online platform that you guys can go on. You answer a few questions and they will do their best to link you up with the perfect therapist for you so that you can chat about these things, talk about whatever you want to talk about. A lot of times people think that with therapy, you know, you have to be going through like some really rough stuff in order to have a therapist or to speak to a therapist, but that's absolutely not the case. In fact, I can promise you guys, most of your the people that you watch on YouTube and stuff like that probably have spoken to a therapist at one point, and if not, quite regularly. And if it is something you are interested in, then definitely check out BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/fellasmysteries. And by that, you'll save 10% off of your first month. We love a little discount over here, all right? Let's be honest. So if that is of interest, then check out BetterHelp.com/fellasmysteries.
After winning an appeal, Roberto was set free. He continued to work at Banco Ambrosiano. On May 5th, the bank lost 20% of its value whilst trading on the Milan Stock Exchange, which led many people to use Roberto as the scapegoat. Roberto wanted and needed help, and so turned to Pope John Paul II. He wrote him a letter asking for an audience to tell him about everything that has been happening. He told him he'd tell him of dealings with Archbishop Marcinkus and Sindona's wrongdoings. He told the Pope he was his last hope. He also wrote that he acknowledged the role he played in financing some political religious organizations which were designed to fight certain ideologies and the participation of the Vatican authorities. He told the Pope that he had been offered help in return for this information, but said, "I won't be blackmailed and I won't blackmail in return. I have always been loyal, even when it's most dangerous." Later, due to the lack of evidence, the Vatican Bank received immunity from all accusations. Roberto's other connection was a man named Flavio Carbone, who was a Sardinian entrepreneur and had ties to organized crime in Rome, such as the Banda della Magliana. He introduced Silvano Vittor to Roberto, who smuggled him from Italy to Yugoslavia and then across to Austria. Here, Silvano and Roberto met and boarded a private plane to London on June 15th. His final destination was meant to be Washington. His daughter was planning to meet him there, and his wife was already stationed in Washington. The day prior to his murder, he said, "Something really important is happening, and today and tomorrow, all hell is going to break loose." The bank's board voted to remove Roberto Calvi as president and decided to dissolve itself. It was found that they had around $1.4 billion in debt. That day, Roberto's secretary apparently jumped from the bank's window and committed suicide, leaving behind a note which said, "May Calvi be double cursed for the damage he has caused the bank and all its employees." And since Roberto's body was found the next day, many believe both deaths were not a matter of suicide, but rather of assassination.
Let's be honest, guys. It is never a surprise when you hear about this amount of money. For example, $1.4 billion of debt. It happens quite frequently where someone has killed themselves. I mean, we have the secretary there who supposedly killed themselves, but usually when this amount of money is being talked about, I have a feeling that most of the time it's never quite a suicide. Also, is anybody actually surprised at the fact that the Vatican was given immunity, right? The Vatican Bank. I'm just gonna say that I feel like they get away with quite a lot, and they probably are one of the most protected things in the world, right? The Vatican. It is the holy place. So yeah, it just didn't surprise me at all when they were given complete immunity from all of these accusations.
At first, the British police ruled his death a suicide. But shortly after, people were questioning how he managed to climb down the bridge, jump, hang himself whilst carrying 5.5 kilos of bricks, and he was 62 years old. Less than a year later, thanks to his family, they challenged the verdict that Roberto Calvi's death was a suicide, and in 2002, it was finally ruled a murder. Superintendent Trevor Smith told The Independent that they believed he was strangled on a boat on the Thames and then hanged on the bridge. Both Italian and British authorities did agree that they believed the mafia were to be involved. It is not known, however, whether he was killed before or after he was hanged. In 1991, Roberto's family hired a private detective, Jeff Katz, to perform several forensic tests. He indicated that Roberto's hands had no brick residue, which he could have had if he put the bricks in his own pockets. So someone else had to have placed them there. There were also some injuries on his neck, which were not the result of hanging. Finally, his shoes didn't have any trace of rust or paint, which he would have had due to the scaffolding on the bridge. His report showed that the water level was high enough to have a boat underneath a bridge at the time of his death and to easily reach the scaffolding. In a written piece by Dr. Angela Gallup, she investigated his death and ruled his suicide as virtually impossible. She wrote that there were no injection marks nor anything in the toxicology report which could have identified that he was drugged. Her whole article rules out suicide and points to murder.
It's safe to say that I don't think anybody watching or listening to this actually thought that this was a suicide. I mean, the bricks in the pocket, that should have been the first giveaway. But the fact that now it's also just been completely ruled out that it would have been possible for this to have been a suicide comes as a surprise to absolutely nobody. I do find it really interesting about the water levels, though, how if there was a boat down there, they probably could have reached, done the whole thing. But I mean, that is a pretty serious operation, especially on one of the most famous rivers in the world, the River Thames. I'm surprised that nobody actually saw anything happening. It would have to be like a pretty seriously covert mission. Like I said, this is a popular river. There's a lot of people looking at this river. So could it have happened in the pitch black? Maybe. But yeah, this is like no... I just feel like there's easier ways to kill people. So I think by them doing it here, maybe this is them trying to make a statement to a certain someone, or I'm not quite convinced that this is the easiest way to get rid of someone. There's definitely got to be a meaning behind why someone would kill the person in this way at this place.
Theories. Laundering money for the mafia. In 2003, 5 people were charged with his murder. Prosecutors tried to get life sentences for 4 of the men and an acquittal for 1. But in the end, they were all acquitted due to a lack of evidence. The judges couldn't tell who murdered Roberto, but knew he was involved with the mafia. The Vatican investment arm had ties to Italian Secret Service, and they even suspected the British Secret Service, as during his career, Roberto had financed weapons to the Argentinians during the Falklands War. Some of the bank's customers were mafia and used the bank as part of their money laundering operations. Roberto was an integral part of their laundering and would have had a lot of inside knowledge about Italian politicians and even the Vatican. The Vatican has long been associated with the mafia, and so he had a lot of powerful secrets and inside knowledge of the dealings. Some other people theorized that he actually embezzled the mafia out of $50 million.
It's no surprise with all these ties to the mafia and there's just so much of this going on, of ties to this, these people involved, dangerous people involved, lots of money involved here, that it doesn't surprise me that this is how it ended. An interesting thing that I think about this, though, is he was murdered in the UK, and obviously we spoke about it here. Did this have anything to do with the British Secret Service? Because obviously he was dealing arms to Argentina during the war. So were they like, right, we're just going to get rid of this guy? And actually, it really didn't have much to do with the banks or the Italian mafia. It was more so the British Secret Service wanting rid of him. That could also be the case. But to be honest with you, I just get the vibe that a lot of people kind of wanted this guy gone. And it was in a lot of people's interest that this guy wasn't around.
Another theory is that local London drug dealer Sergio Vaccari and businessman Flavio Carboni assisted Roberto around London when he arrived. Sergio returned to Sicily to meet with a mafia boss in 1981, which is why many point to him as the assassinator. 3 months after Roberto was murdered, Sergio was also found murdered in his house with 15 stab wounds to the face and neck, also with bricks in his pockets. The police never connected the two murders. The police did find a list which contained members of a secret society, Propaganda Jew, which was a secret Masonic lodge. In 1976, they withdrew the Masonic constitution and were trying to achieve a strong right-wing government. The group was composed of very high-ranking officials in every industry. The members of this group referred to themselves as the Frati Neri, which can be translated as Black Friars. Roberto was a member of Propaganda Jew. Is it a coincidence that he was hanged on Black Friars Bridge?
Now, this is fun. Okay, well, let's not say fun. This guy's life at stake here, but you know what I mean. And I'm referring to the Black Friars thing. Earlier, I did say there had to be some sort of reason or meaning behind why they would kill them in that particular spot. For me, this could definitely be the reason for it, and it's because of this group's name being Frati Neri, which is translated to Black Friars. Obviously, there's a Black Friars Bridge in London, and that's where he was found. So this feels like a really good theory. I'm not too sure if this entire thing here is exactly what happened, but at least that for me explains a little bit of why it happened there, and that there was definitely something to do with, you know, like a secret group. And I think that's safe to say that was the case here. I don't think that, you know, we'll ever know or we can really pinpoint as to what the main reason for his death was, because like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on here. This is a case where you're just being bombarded with loads of different amounts of money, who's owed who what, and by the sounds of it, this guy just got caught up in it and was killed by Frati Neri at the Blackfriars Bridge. It is a mystery, I suppose, but I definitely think there are some strong links to this P2 group, this secret group that they were talking about, which is composed of lots of high-ranking people. And let's be honest, I'm sure this type of stuff probably happens a lot more than we probably know, and there's probably tons of cases similar to this, but this one is certainly really interesting, and the fact that it happened in such a famous London location does make it quite interesting. But to give you a little update on where we are now, on the early morning of June 18th, a lifelike dummy was put on Blackfriars Bridge to commemorate the 40th anniversary of Roberto's death. So who knows? I mean, it's an interesting case. Let me know what you guys have. I think there's one thing that I know is that you don't fuck with the Italian mafia and you don't mess around with that. So guys, I love Italy. I love the cuisine. Thank you guys for watching. If you are new around here, make sure you hit the subscribe button. If you didn't already know, we actually have a podcast over on Spotify. You guys can type in The Fellas Mysteries to find that. And if you enjoy it, then make sure you leave that a 5-star review. As always, guys, it's an absolute pleasure. And Chip's not here, which is probably why this video was absolutely amazing. I'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.